Hello, this is Michael Zuber, and I wanted to thank you for choosing to spend a little time with One Rental at a Time. My life's mission is to help investors close 1 million rental properties. In order to tackle this crazy goal, I will need your help. If you like this episode or any of the content we produce, please share it on social media. If you get one of my books or perhaps one of our 500 cards, please take a selfie and tag One Rental at a Time. Now on with the show.
Alrighty, folks, something we're going to talk about here is the NAR settlement. It's been out there for a couple of weeks now. I thought I would ask Casey from Brick by Brick, what is she seeing? What does she think is happening? And just what's what about the NAR settlement? How are you doing, Casey?
I'm doing good, Michael. I'm so sad we missed last week for Easter, but I am so happy to be back today.
Yeah, you had time with the kids and family. It was awesome. I think you went to the zoo, right?
We did. We went to the zoo, and right before my membership ended, so I'm like, "This is our last chance to go, guys.
We're going." There you go. Well, the NAR settlement came out. There is some talk about the DOJ maybe reopening it, so we'll put that aside for a moment. Given the settlement as it sits right now, how does it hit you? What do you think, if anything, happens in the market?
I mean, it makes sense, but I don't like it. You know. I don't like a lot of change. I think it's going to put a big damper on buyers. I think most people don't watch the news. Let's say this goes through. Most people don't watch the news. They don't know what's going on. And if they decide after July, they're going to go out and buy a property, they're going to be shocked to find out that they have to pay their own realtor or at least agree to pay them upfront, whether or not they can get the commissions paid for by the seller. Maybe they can, maybe they can't, but I think that they're going to have to agree, like sign a buyer broker agreement in writing with their own buyer's agent before they do showings. They're going to have to agree to a fee up front, whether or not whatever house they decide to buy, seller is going to pay for that or not, the buyer is still liable to pay for it. So I think they're going to be like, what? I think that's going to freak some people out.
Yeah, I think the home buying process, again, assuming this goes through as articulated, has changed forever. And
yes,
I think it's going to, I do think, I mean, that's what the, I mean, the whole case was about the sellers. So the resolution gives some sellers some goodies, but you know, all the pain goes on the buyers. And to your point, if you're going out there and you're trying to buy your first home, you know, after July, it's going to be a different world, right? You're going to get this kind of buyer agreement that comes to you and it's going to list out all these fees. What are you going to do?
You know, I think a lot of the buyers, I mean, it's been forever. Buyers don't pay commission. Forever buyers don't pay commission. And when people come in, especially first time home buyers or really anyone, most people don't put 20% down on homes. Anyways, a lot of times for owner occupied, they'll put, you know, the minimum they can because not everybody is rolling in dough. And if they are making a lot of money, we all know this is a consumer country and people spend what they have. Few people actually save. So there's some, I forget the statistic, but it's a massive percentage of the population lives paycheck to paycheck, no matter how much money they make. So yeah. Even millionaires that are raking in the dough are still living paycheck to paycheck and still probably don't put down tons of money on their homes. So they're already wanting to buy the best property that they can buy, right, based upon what they qualify for. And that's based upon how much money they can put down. So now adding on top of that, you have to pay commission. I can't imagine listing agents and buyer's agents, they're going to lower their commissions because of all this. I think that's going to be too hard of a pill for them to swallow, at least right away. I think they're still going to try and get what they used to get, which was anywhere from 2 to 3% per side. Mm-hmm. And I think that adding 3% to $1 million house that the buyer has to pay is an awful lot of money for the buyer to come up with two to pay. And I think, unfortunately, you know, people are talking about like price fixing the properties and, oh, you know, housing prices are going to go down because the sellers only have to pay for half the commission. It's like, well, no, that's not the case at all, because when properties are appraised, the appraiser doesn't go, well, how much was the commission? Because that's the dumbest false news, like fake, you know, info that's out there right now. I mean, yes, does the buyer ultimately pay for, you know, pay. Yes, the money comes from the buyer, but the sales price has nothing to do with the commission. But now if this goes through, I kind of think it will. I think it will now, because let's say I'm a buyer and okay, I signed my agreement with my real estate agent and I'm promising to give them the 3% or whatever that they're going to ask for. But let's say house A is offering to pay the buyer's agent and house B is not. I might be more drawn to pay to go with the other house because it's going to be cheaper for me. So now the price does have some, the price of the property does have something to do with commission, whereas it absolutely didn't before because it was pretty much all the same.
Yeah, when I think about the buyers, and I really lean towards the first time home buyers, the world's changed. I actually, my biggest fear, historically speaking, it just is what it is. Buyers don't read the contracts. So if you're a home buyer and you want to go see a house one weekend and then want to see a house the next weekend and then the following weekend, I can imagine a lot of new home buyers signing three different buyer agreements. And if they just sign them without reading, they could potentially, I mean, there's a way that you could be end up buying a house and owe three people commission.
Oh, yeah. Especially possibly. If you're not careful, because I was an agent back in the day for like 7 years. And I remember it was always tricky. Like, well, where'd you get the lead from? You know, I remember it's in the National Association of Realtors, in the Code of Ethics and all that. It's whoever brings the lead is the one that gets the sale. And so like I remember one time I was so mad. I had a client. I spent hours and tons of gas driving them around. I had a buyer showing them properties. And they went and cheated on me with a property that I had shown them, okay? Mm-hmm. But they went back to see it, and I didn't make them sign a buyer broker agreement. They went back to see it that next weekend at the open house, and that listing agent took them from me. Now, technically, I could have sued and all that for commission because I was the one that showed them the property. I was the first one. Now, if they had seen the open house first without me, okay, and we had nothing, no agreement signed. But it's who shows the property first. So people don't really think about that either, that I could have gotten commission from the buyers if I had an agreement signed.
I mean, if you play that out.
Procuring cause, I think. Something
if
like
you
that.
Play that out in the new scenario, you would have had a legally binding contract where the buyers would have owed you commission and potentially owed the other one as well.
Mm-hmm.
We could have had to pay twice. That is absolutely one of my concerns. The other one I'm very concerned about is our veterans. Both my parents served. They both qualify for VA loans. And one of the things inside the VA loan, at least as it's currently written today, is commissions are a non, whatever it's called, payable. Like the a veteran buying a home can't pay commissions.
That's right.
It's not allowed. So
if this, change that.
If this settlement goes through, our veterans can't buy homes. How much nonsense is that?
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense to me. So I'm sure they're already, the VA, whatever, I'm sure that's already being talked about.
But it won't be soon. It won't be quick.
That's true.
We'll have a year go by before veterans can buy homes. How insulting, how terrible is that?
Well, they're always last.
Oh, it doesn't make it right.
No, it doesn't. I'm saying they get the shaft in so many ways. It sucks. One more tick to the box. One more add to the list.
Yeah, the other thing I think about when I look at this settlement is I've been in the real estate game for 25 years. And today, it's a pretty good seller's market in most of the country. I have been in a world where it's a buyer's market. And this agreement, it'll get wild in a buyer's market.
Yeah,
it'll shock people in a buyer's market what happens here. Because again, in a buyer's market, just in case you know what I'm talking about, you have 5 million active listings and 1 million mm-hmm. buyers, as opposed to 3 million buyers and 500,000 listings, right? It's a complete
buyers
reverse.
Buyers have their pick of the litter. They can pick any house that they want. I mean, pretty much. Because all the sellers are like, please, buy mine.
Yeah, exactly. And then what will happen is, again, human nature. agents will be taking people that are offering the biggest buyer's commission. The buyer's commission could double dip, right? I'll have the buyers pay me and the seller pay me. I mean, this, it's just buying a home is fundamentally changed, assuming this goes through as is. Yeah. The whole process has changed.
Not sure. I don't know. Do you know how this all got brought up? Was there some lawsuit or why all of a sudden, like, I mean, what? Because I'm not seeing how this benefits anybody except for like the lawyers involved.
Oh, yeah, the lawyers. So, yeah, basically the case was brought about by sellers who basically accused NAR of price fixing, of forcing the sellers to pay the buy and the sell side. That's why when the NAR settlement came out, it leaned heavily towards the sellers. The sellers, in my opinion, came out good in this. And it feels good in a seller's market, right? Because again, to your point, in a seller's market, prices aren't going to adjust down because of this. The sellers will just walk away with 1 or 2% more net. But if we flip to a buyer's market where sellers are competing to get those qualified buyers, that'll be very different. We could see buyer agents making 4 or 5%.
Yeah. Well, what do you think, Michael, about the, I mean, what do you think about how much realtors, real estate agents get paid anyway, as it is 3% of a price? Like, what's your opinion on that?
So my opinion on that is I think the result of this settlement is we're going to have two very different services. I believe commission-based salespeople should be paid. I believe your service should be commensurate with your commission. I believe the last 3 or 4 years, there have been plenty of part-time, horrible Instagram agents who didn't provide a service but got paid. Mm-hmm. They're going to go away. I think very quickly in a 12 to 18 month period, there will be, I strongly believe, Zillow, Redfin, there'll be a new service. They're going to create a buyer agreement for 1%. They're going to do that low cost service. Let me help you with the contract. You don't know what the contract says. Let me coordinate inspections. That's worth 1%. That's coming. Then there will be the high end concierge, take care of everything, handhold you, high end, blah, blah, blah. Full boat, 3%. Yeah. There'll be nothing in the middle. That's kind what I like, think is coming to buyers.
When I lived in California, there was a company called Help You Sell. And it was for the, I don't know if you remember Help You Sell where cost. You were. Yep. Yeah, but it was like 1% of the purchase price. And basically it was for sellers. They would do nothing but pretty much put it on the MLS and you would do your own open houses and all of that. So now it's kind of like the Help You Sell for buyers.
Exactly. That's coming.
Yeah.
And again, there's... Yeah, the other thing that I think is coming is buyer's agents. I actually think, so the other thing I think will happen is we're going to lose at least 30% of licensed agents. They're going to disappear. It's too hard, not enough money. They're going to go, they're going to go away. And it's, you know, the other thing that just hit me is becoming a brand new agent is going to be wildly difficult. So we're going to start seeing the average tenure of agents increase. It's, you know, 10, 20 years from now, we're not going to have any brand new agents. Everybody's going to just age out. It's going to be wild.
I think most things will start going online. I don't know. I don't think agents are as needed as, you know, everybody says, but I mean, I get it for the new people that don't understand anything. Yes. But I mean, I was a real estate agent and I mean, with some knowledge, I think a lot of people could do it by themselves, you know, especially with like a 1% broker or a flat fee or something to help you understand the contracts. And as long as you're okay with dealing with, you know, doing negotiations yourself and stuff like that. One thing I'm concerned about is there are the buyer's agents, the ones probably you say are going to leave. You know, there is a lot of running around being a buyer's agent, a lot of driving around, a lot of work to be done before you get paid. You may or may not get paid. So I wonder, you know, are agents going to require buyers to, and the new law may say that buyers have to sign a paper up front.
Oh, you absolutely. Know, you can't get, yeah,
so
you
what's
have
going to be like, what's going to be in that? You know, is it going to be like, here's a list of my fees. If you want me to show you 8 houses, it's going to be this much money. If you want me to show you, you know, it's going to be kind of pieced out and, you know, maybe small fees for different things. Like, hey, if you're going to want me to show you 40 houses, or there's a max, I mean, I don't know, because there is lot of running around when you're a buyer's agent.
I think a buyer's agent is going to create I'll call it a Chinese menu, for lack of a better term, right? Plus, like, you know, a whole, like a dim sum menu, like, what do you want? And there'll be a service and a fee, a service and a fee. Now, at the end of that document, it might say, if seller pays buyer's commission, we will deduct from this, but you will be responsible for the net if it's positive.
Yeah.
Absolutely. That's in the agreement as it's currently written. And go ahead. I was going to say, when you think about a buyer, buyers buy on payment. Mm-hmm. And of course, they try to get in with a low down payment. I'm thinking, like, even if buyers have 1%, let's just say the buyer's on the hook for 1%. That fundamentally means it takes them more time, because today it's hard enough to save 3.5% or 5%. But if you have to save an extra 1% for the commission, it's just going to slow down getting on the property ladder.
Well, I think what it's going to do is it's going to deter people from even wanting to move, because they're not going to get this level of house they wanted. They can only now afford this.
Yeah,
level.
They go down, right? Everybody
so
trades
people
down.
People are going to be mad, and they're not going to want to do it at all. You know, because it's just, it's the ego in us, right? Don't like that. And so it's going to probably take a while for that to become normal and have buyers go, okay, well, I have to include the commission as part of what I can afford, you know, but initially they're going to feel like, you mean I can only get this now because I got to pay my agent? Ew. Like, no one's going to like that, because it's going to limit the quality of the property that they can buy.
Yeah. The other thing that I think is going to happen is more and more buyers are just going to go to the listing agent.
Oh, yeah. And that scares me too, because I've worked with a lot of listing agents. You know, when I bought properties, I kind of run through agents like water, and if I see a house, I'll call the agent, you know, directly. But I don't care, like, dual agency, whatever. The listing agent has got their fiduciary duty first to the seller. Like, I don't even care what the rules say. They don't, because the seller is the one that's giving them the paycheck. I mean, that's what it was, you know? Mm-hmm. So I never got the service, the level of service, or the openness that I should have gotten if I had my own agent. So going directly to the seller's agent is kind of a mistake if you don't know what you're doing. Yeah. I mean, even if you are, you're not getting the full picture. They may just leave stuff out because they want the best for the seller. It's just, it's still, you're still one person, you know, and it sometimes is hard to separate out both sides.
Yeah. Yeah, there was a time, if you go back and look at the history books, I think a buyer's agent came about in the early 80s, I think. For a long time, it was just seller's agent. So again, I think at the end of the day, the NAR settlement gives a victory to sellers, which obviously they're the ones that brought the suit. Gives a big victory to the lawyers, who make 30%, clearly. Buyers come out on the short end, in my opinion, and first-time home buyers come out big losers. All of this.
Now, the one group we didn't talk about was investors.
Oh,
so what's it going to look like, right, for real estate investors with this new scenario? So I used to say, if you only buy and hold and you don't flip, you don't sell your properties, there's no need for the investor to get the real estate license, because the seller pays the commission. You're not really saving anything. Your commission, the buyer's commission was basically free. Your buyer was basically free. If that's not the case anymore, I may be advocating more for real estate investors to get their license to do their own deals. Especially if they live, you know, in their area, because they'll save on the buyer side. Like for me, when I moved to Tennessee, I didn't get my Tennessee license. I went as far as taking the extra classes, and I even paid for the test and scheduled a date and didn't show up. And I'm like, I know that if I get my license, I will feel like I have to show, and I don't want to do it. I just want to buy for myself. I'm like, it's not worth it to me. So I didn't get my license. I sold my California one, but just for referral fees. I'm like, that's good enough. But if I'm like, well, now I buy in my market where I live, I'm just probably going to go get my license now. So I can save on my own commission. And it is less hassle, and I can let myself into any house instead of having to call up, which is also annoying. So there's pros, but I do think maybe
that's a good point.
Getting licenses would be more will be more normal for real estate investors, which is probably a good thing because they'll have a little more knowledge.
Yeah,
you know,
I hadn't thought of that. I hadn't thought of that. That's an interesting take. When I think about being an investor, I actually what it's funny. The first thing I did is I put out a note on my daily financial news that I will pay buyer's agent a 1% bonus if they bring me seller finance deals. So when I leaned into the fact, okay, buyer's agents, you're going to get screwed. You know what? I want you to serve me. Here's a bonus if you find me a deal I'm looking for. So I think I think investors should know that buyer's agents are scared and scream from the mountaintop what they're looking for.
Yeah.
And if a buyer agent scours the world and finds you that, pay them. Pay them. So that's what I did.
And I wonder too, if let's say you're an out of area investor, but you do a lot of deals, like I know a lot of people who do a lot of deals, you know, every year, maybe those real estate agents could start some sort of a membership, you know, monthly membership thing, if that would be allowed, to where the investors could pay monthly membership fees and kind of get, you know,
like a retainer
help. Get unlimited help to get deals done instead of it being like a percentage or something like that.
Yeah, I think all of that. I think the home buying process has fundamentally changed. We'll see if it's I'm not even going to pass judgment. We'll see, because I just read this morning that the DOJ or Department of Justice might be reopening this settlement. I don't know why, but we'll see. But I do think home buying is going to change one way or another.
Yeah. And it kind of needs to. I mean, if you think about it, you know, final thoughts, if you think about it, real estate agent gets 3% on $1 million home, 3% on $100,000 house. They roughly do the same amount of work. I mean,
absolutely.
Okay, they hire a better quality videographer and a photographer.
Yeah.
You know, so things should change.
Casey, where can people find you?
People can find me every day on Instagram, Brick by Brick Wealth. And every Tuesday, I put out a YouTube video, Brick by Brick Wealth.
There you go. Nice work, Casey.
Thank you.